Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them? I ask in Jesus' name. Please be seated. This is the second in my sermon series entitled, Why, God, Why? I've been seeking to answer some of the questions like, why does God allow evil? Why does evil happen? Why are certain prayers not answered? Things like that. And this is a series that is really something designed to follow along with each session. And so if you haven't heard the first session, maybe this part of the series might not make as much sense, but you still are going to be able to get enough out of it. And you can also listen to the first part on our website if you'd be interested in doing that as well. There was a guy who came one time and he said, I went to the doctor the other day and he told me I needed to get some exercise, so I went to McDonald's. My wife wanted to know why I went there, and I told her the doctor told me that I needed some extra fries. She made an appointment with the hearing doctor right after that. This part of my sermon series really is going to be dealing about God's healing power, God of healing our bodies, our minds, our spirits. And so many people don't really believe God still heals today. Some people kind of believe that he used to heal maybe in the past, but no longer does that because of all the modern technology and scientific discoveries that we've made, that sort of thing. So they kind of assign healing to maybe something that's happened way in the past. And yet many Christians still believe that God heals today. Certainly with that belief comes a lot of questions. Why aren't more people healed? Why are some healed and others not? Why don't we see the sort of miracles that we saw in the Bible? We see in the Bible. Some might say, I've been praying for people for a long time and all they seem to do is die. Many more questions like this come up when we talk about healing prayer. Is there a secret to tapping into God's healing power? Carlos was diagnosed with lung cancer earlier this year, and the doctor said that he wouldn't live to see another summer. He and his family struggled to understand how a hearty 42-year-old could become so ill. Everyone prayed, some pleaded, begged God to heal him. Others laid their gifts at the altar, but his condition did not change. Aunt Rosa Maria blamed Carlos. The Bible says that those who have faith are healed, sobrino, she said. You've got to pray harder. You've got to believe. She pointed to Mark's gospel about the woman with an issue of blood for 12 years and a cane. And it says of her that this woman suffered greatly under the care of many physicians and had spent all she had. Instead of getting better, it says that she grew worse. One life-changing day, the woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment and everything changed. Daughter, your faith has healed you, Jesus said. Go in peace and be free of your affliction. Now, stories like this in the Bible cause us to think that the only way we can receive healing is by having great faith, like this woman did. And Carlos believes, or at least he tries to believe. He musters all the faith that he can, and he bargains with God. You know, God, if you'll heal me, then I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be a super saint for you. Along with the misery that cancer brings, Carlos also feels guilty. I doubt I'm good enough for heaven, Carlos lamented. The Bible says that without faith, no one can please God. Do you think I'm going to hell? Carlos' story really reflects the thinking of many Christians who are in need of healing. Last week I began the sermon series by suggesting that we need to change our view of God's power. We should not blame God for evil, sickness, or disease, because God cannot prevent it single-handedly. God neither causes nor allows suffering, but always expresses uncontrolling love. He does use the suffering that we go through sometimes to perhaps teach us spiritual lessons or to cause us to maybe try to depend on him more. When it comes to healing, we need a new belief. That belief is that God works to heal those broken and abused, bleeding and suffering, those hurt and confused. God responds to evil by working to make evil better, make to make things work out better. The healing God pursues for us can be emotional, physical, spiritual, or relational. And God can heal in many different ways. Restoration sometimes takes many different forms. There's a lot of confusion surrounding the topic of healing. Understanding how God heals and why many are not healed clears up that confusion. To answer the how and why, we need to expose the healing myths. False ideas frustrate, make us angry, and take away our motivation to seek healing. Some deny divine healing. Many have prayed for miracles but have not seen them happen. Deniers of healing explain the few recoveries in various ways. Some involve misdiagnosis, they say. Others occur through the body's natural powers. Sometimes we're healed because of modern medicine does its job. Skeptics sometimes credit the power of wishful thinking, the placebo effect being very powerful. Those who deny supernatural healing note that the shady reputations of some faith healers. Scams, tricks, and false promises abound. Or they may cite a lack of empirical data showing that genuine healing occurred. Those who claim to be healed rarely consult physicians to verify their claims. Deniers make some valid points, but the fact is that some do get better. Some healing seems authentic. The explanations that skeptics give don't account for all legitimate healing. Those who deny healing often ask important questions. If God can heal anyone at any time, why aren't more people healed? Is God being stingy? People pray asking for healing much more often than God seems to deliver. Does God play favorites? Is God asleep on the job? Or worse, is God waiting for us to beg, plead, or get our acts together before intervening? Does God say, I won't heal until you said 87 more prayers? We talked last week about how a loving, powerful God doesn't prevent evil. There are related questions which I call the problem of selective healing. It wonders why a loving and powerful God heals so infrequently. Why do most people not experience instantaneously the healing God can provide? If God heals, why doesn't God heal a lot more often? And we hear people tell about healing, their own experiences of healings. We hear of the healings of others. Sometimes you'll hear people say that healings occur frequently in foreign lands where they're not as skeptical of the supernatural as perhaps we in our modern society are. Another question has to do with God's will. I've often heard people say just after asking for God to heal, if it be your will, please heal Jane of leukemia, I heard someone pray, if it is your will. It's important to pray according to the will of God because John says that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we have that for which we've asked. If it's God's will to heal and can heal without any input, why do we ask for healing? Wouldn't the loving God want to heal all of the pointless pain and unnecessary disease that we suffer? Wouldn't it be the will of God to help the abused, confused, injured, and ill? Wouldn't God want to help the emotionally scarred? One of the reasons why we ask God to heal is because the Bible encourages us to do that. Another question that's related to that is, if it's not God's will to heal, why ask? If God doesn't want some ailment cured, our prayers seem to be futile, and they seem to be working at cross purposes with God. Over time, I came to believe if it is your will is a sort of cover your rear end sort of prayer to answer those questions that happen when healing doesn't occur when we pray. The first step towards making sense out of healing is to believe God is always present and always loves to the utmost. God is omnipresent and omniloving. Since God is present everywhere, we don't need to ask him to come and heal someone. He's already there. This means that God is present to our atoms, our cells, our neurons, our muscles, our organs, our limbs, and our minds, to every bit of who we are. God doesn't enter a situation from the outside as if he was previously away on some other business. God is always at work everywhere, healing to the utmost, given the circumstances. The second step to understanding healing says God always works alongside people and creation. To say God works alongside does not mean God only works indirectly. God knows us personally and loves us specifically by working to heal directly. So whom does God work alongside when working to heal? Well, let me start with the healthcare professionals. God sometimes works through physicians, nurses, pharmacists, medical specialists, nutritionists, and alternative healers. God inspires those helpers and works alongside of them. Those who ask, did God heal you or did a doctor do it, present a false choice. When we find healing through surgery, physical therapy, some prescribed medicines, nutrition, and so on, all healing, no matter how it occurs, has God as its source. God can even work alongside healthcare professionals who don't believe in God. God also works alongside people with extraordinary experiences, specialized education, and unique gifts. These people may be pastors, counselors, social workers, or life coaches. Sometimes the practical advice of everyday people with degrees in the hard knocks of life help the abused, ill, and hurting. I want to look also at what's inside of us. Our own actions, thoughts, and habits can be healing sources because what we do makes a difference to our mental and physical well-being. Negative habits, destructive thought patterns, foolish choices, poor eating, lack of sleep, and no exercise can damage us. God encourages positive, constructive, and wise actions and uses those when healing. Decisions to change our thought patterns, eating habits, exercise regimen, or sleep often play a role in our healing. I had a real bad outbreak of psoriasis about a year and a half ago, and had a number of people praying for me. My wife prayed for me. She put up some healing scriptures on our closet wall for me to look at and meditate on. We changed my eating habits, and we began to do some supplements. And God used all of those things to bring about healing for me. So God can heal through many different methods. God is in the healing business. And the great physician many times works with partners to bring about that healing. Healing requires cooperation because God always expresses uncontrolling love. Some would say that God cannot heal single-handedly. If that's the case, we solve the problem with selective miracles. If God always works to heal but cannot control anyone, could it be that it's not God's fault when healing does not occur? The great healer doesn't choose to heal some and bypass others. God is neither asleep on the job or waiting until we've prayed hard enough or long enough. The God of uncontrolling love always works to heal everyone, but cannot heal through overruling power. God's work to heal is always uncontrolling because God always loves, and love never controls. God works at all levels of reality, from the smallest atoms, cells and organs, to every other aspect of our being. But when we fail to cooperate or the conditions are not right, God's work to heal can be frustrated. Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Could he be saying here, you've cooperated with God's healing love? And when Matthew says Jesus could not do many miracles because of their lack of faith, could it be saying that the people there were not cooperating with God's healing love? I want to emphasize, however, that saying God needs cooperation does not mean that everyone who is not healed failed to cooperate. Let me repeat, believing that God needs our cooperation or the proper conditions does not mean everyone ill, abused, depressed, suffering, or sick, or dying does not have cooperative faith. Rarely should we blame those suffering, diseased, or in pain for not being healed. Of course, there are exceptions. The woman who is asking God to heal her from night terrors but continues to watch horror movies before she goes to sleep is really working against God's healing power. She's not practicing cooperative faith. The man who prays for God to heal him of a liver condition and continues to drink excessively is not cooperating with God's healing efforts. When we continually treat our bodies and minds harmfully, we're not expressing cooperative faith. When it comes to the coronavirus, cooperative faith might involve staying away from large crowds, people who are sick, avoiding physical contact with those who may be carrying the virus. Cooperative faith could involve regular hand washing, not touching your face, and other protective measures. Most of the time, however, people who ask for God's healing do cooperate. They say yes to God. They do what they can to avoid harm and disease. Most Christians pray with cooperative faith. Sometimes forces beyond our bodies or causes within them hinder the healing that God wants. The woman asking God to heal her depression, for instance, may be the unwilling subject of an emotionally abusive relationship. The teenager with cancer may pray, but his cancerous cells may not respond to God's direct influence and the medicines physicians administer. So where does prayer come in? Prayer doesn't force God to do what we ask. Our prayers don't enable God to control others. God is not not a vending machine in which you submit a prayer coin and a miracle comes out. But prayer alters circumstances in our bodies and in our world. It presents new opportunities for God to heal. Prayer opens up new possibilities for God's love to make an actual difference. Another step to explaining healing says God's uncontrolling love extends beyond death. We continue living beyond the grave because of what Jesus Christ has done for us by his death on the cross and by his resurrection. Because he rose from the dead, he promises to take with him all who die in the Lord. So when we die, we know that we will go to be with the Lord. He promises to take us with him to his presence when we die. Some healing must wait until after our bodies die. Many times in Scripture, Jesus healed people to show that he was the Messiah. And sometimes he healed people to show that God's power was working through him. Sometimes he healed for a particular reason. Sometimes he healed people because of their faith. Sometimes he healed people because of the faith of others. So what do we glean from all this? First of all, we need to believe in God's healing through the great physician, Jesus Christ. There's a story in the Bible about a king by the name of Asa. That's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. It says this: in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though the disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. I'm wondering if we might ask ourselves, when we're in need of healing, am I seeking healing only from the medical profession or other professions? Or am I also seeking healing from the Lord? Do I look to Jesus, who the Bible says is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do I believe that he healed in the past and that he can heal in the present? As I mentioned earlier, God uses the medical profession to effect healing. But since God is the source of all healing, we as Christians are reminded to seek healing first from the Lord. When we do that, we should take stock of our lives. Is there anything that might be contributing to my physical condition? Smoking, drinking, bad nutrition, etc.? Is there anything contributing to my emotional disease? Unforgiveness, hatred, anger, bitterness, resentment, or hurt from the past? If God reveals anything like that to us, we might try to see if there's a way that we can overcome those things ourselves. And if we're not able to overcome them, then perhaps seek the help of others that might be able to help us to get through these things. Next, I would encourage you to seek someone to pray for your healing. If you remember, there are several persons in the Bible who are healed because of the faith of others. We have prayer ministers at the front of the church after each church service. And I encourage you to seek healing from them if you're in need of healing. Don't feel like that's selfish to ask for healing for yourself. I've heard people say, you know, I just don't want to ask for anything for myself. That's too selfish. But God encourages us to ask for the things that we need. And healing may be one of those things. And so we should seek out others who might pray for us. We're also going to be having a healing service coming this Saturday. And you might think about attending that. It might be a way that God might use to bring about and begin the healing process within you. Finally, pray that God would influence those things within you that are not working as he designed them to work. From the atoms to your cells, to your muscles, to your organs, to your nervous system, to your brain, whatever it might be. Read stories about people who have been healed. Read scriptures related to healing. Have faith in God. Believe that when you pray for something, or when you pray for someone else to be healed, that you receive that which you prayed for, regardless of how you feel. Listen to the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 11. "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." So we're opening the door for God's healing power through believing in Jesus and His ability to heal us. Pray for the healing of others. Charles Kraft had been invited to speak at the weekend retreat for Christian college singles. One afternoon, a number of the students were playing softball. A girl was badly hurt in the softball game. Kraft was chatting with a group of students on a hillside when another student came running up to him and said, "Luann would like you to come and pray for her." Kraft said, "With little faith but lots of hope, I went to her and I laid my hands on her, on her injured shoulder. She flinched in pain, and I prayed for her. Nothing happened. So they put a support under her neck, carefully moved her into a waiting car, and took her to the hospital. We went about our business, we had our evening meal, and then we started our evening meeting. As I started my message, in walked Luann with not so much as a bandage on her. The story she told was this. The ride to the hospital, she said, was the most painful thing she had ever experienced. The doctor took one look at her and ordered her neck x-rayed. The x-ray showed nothing. So she had her shoulder x-rayed, nothing. Collarbone, nothing. And as they were finishing the last one, Luann looked up and said, "The pain is gone." The doctor said, "I've been around long enough to know when someone is badly hurt. But the x-ray showed nothing, and you say the pain is gone. I can't explain it, but you might as well go home." Kraft said, "This experience and many others like it have led me to the point where I said to the Lord, I don't care even if you let me be embarrassed, I'm going to pray for anyone who wants to be prayed for. From now on, I'm going to be active rather than passive." So you may think about venturing out and trying to take a chance in praying for someone who has a physical need or a spiritual need. Take a chance and pray for them, and you never know but what God might work through you in that particular situation. Of course, the greatest healing that anyone can have is a spiritual healing. The story of the woman at the well today, Jesus was talking about her need for a spiritual healing. And that sometimes is the greatest need that a person can have. And when we are healed in our souls, when our spirits are healed, that is the greatest healing that we could ever receive. And whether we're healed physically or not, if we're healed spiritually, then we really have the greatest healing we could ever expect. But certainly as we receive that spiritual healing, God calls us then to seek Him for the other types of healing that we might need in our lives as well. So whether God heals you or someone whom you're praying for later or now, or when death provides the ultimate healing, we need to pray as if it depends upon God and work as if it depends upon us. Let us pray. Well, we know there are still many mysteries in relation to healing and not understanding why some are healed and others are not. Not understanding why some evil seems to flourish and some doesn't. Well, we don't understand many of the mysteries of life, but we know from your word that you are a healing God and you desire healing for us. Lord, help us to have our faith and trust in you. Trust us for the things that we can't control ourselves. Help us to do those things that we need to do in our own lives to affect healing. But ultimately, Lord, would you work all the situations and circumstances to our greatest good and to affect the healing that we need in our lives. Lord, we put our trust in you, knowing that ultimately the greatest healing comes about when we put our trust in you. We receive that healing by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that ultimately we'll have to suffer no longer with any pain or illness or any disease when we go to heaven, because we know that you will do away with all those things once we get there. So Lord, we put our trust in you now as we seek you for the healing in our lives. We do these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.